Welcome everybody back to Elevating Sparks, exploring the world, the lens, spiritual world of Chassidut. We're going to take a little bit of a departure from what we've been doing, what I plan to do. So my plan is each week to explore the thought of another Chassidic master. I'd like to do it chronologically. We started with the Baal Shem Tov. Last time we gathered together, we learned a little bit about an introduction to Chassidut, what it is, and about Baal Shem Tov's life, the Baal Shem Tov of Israel. Baal Shem Tov was the founder of the Chassidic movement, an incredibly charismatic leader, incredibly popular person, the movement grew very rapidly. And so in the coming weeks, what I'd like to do is explore some of the thought of his disciples, some about their lives, the Torah that they taught, what their innovative features to the movement were, their contributions. But today we have another order of activity. Today we are just a few days away from Shavuot, the holiday of Shavuot, in which we, of course, commemorate Kabbalat HaTorah or Kabbalat HaTorah, the acceptance, receiving of the Torah. And so I'd like to today study or think with you about a new way of conceiving what learning is about, what Talmud Torah is about, what Shavuot in the sense that it's Kabbalat Torah is about. So let me open this way. When we learn about a holiday, so there are all sorts of questions or topics of interest. So those who are more legally inclined, those who like Talmud or Gemara or Halacha, might ask things, let's say it's Pesach, such as, what sort of matzah do I need to eat? What does the matzah need to be made of? What is Maror? How does one do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? That's sort of thinking, right? And to get those sort of answers, you may look in the Shulchan Aruch, you may look in the Gemara, you may look in the Rishonim, etc. Then you may have some more philosophically inclined thinkers. And they might ask questions like, sort of, what's the meaning behind it? What are the bigger ideas involved? What does Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim tell me about providence or about belief in God or about faith? And that's another sort of thing to think about. But I think there's a different way of thinking about all of these things. A different way of thinking about holidays like Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and mitzvot like matzah or Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim or learning Torah. And there the question is, I would say, different. The question is, what am I supposed to gain from this mitzvah? Meaning, to say it differently, from a spiritual lens, we know that we have, our bodies need nutrients. We need to feed ourselves. We need to eat. We need to drink. We need to exercise. We need to sleep. And that without those materials, we will not have the sustenance to physically survive. Well, at the same time, our souls need sustenance. Our souls need spiritual sustenance. And each holiday is intended to sustain us, to provide us with a certain sort of spiritual nutrient, a spiritual illumination, to illuminate our souls, to inspire us, to give us a certain strength, an inspiration that we wouldn't get otherwise. And so what I think the Baal Shem Tov and his students ask us to think about is, if we're about to enter the holiday of Shavuot, we're about to learn Torah, we're about to hear a shir, we're in shul, and they are taking out the Torah, they're bringing it to the Bima, and they're going to read it. What am I supposed to gain from that experience? What sort of impact is that meant to have on me and my life and my relationship to God? That's the question that they're interested in. And in that vein, what I'd like to do is share a few perspectives. I hope you'll find them meaningful. And even if I would say, even if all of these explanations don't necessarily resonate with you, but asking the question itself is an important exercise. So in that vein, I'm going to share my source sheet with you. Just 1 second. Those who are here have it in person, it's going to find, here we go. This is it. See it. We're going to get rid of the navigation pane. And let's get rid of this also. How do I get rid of this? Hide. Okay. Second. I'll just zoom in a little bit. Hopefully you'll see it better that way. Okay. So let's begin from the beginning. As we go through this, we're going to meet some of these grandmasters in our studies. The first one is the Baal Shem Tov himself. I'll explain a little bit about who this person, who each author of each of these works was, and sort of the time in history. So we start from the very beginning. As you mentioned, the founder of Chassidut was Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. We don't have much of his, or any of his direct writings. He didn't write any specific work. What we have are the thoughts or the recordings of his teachings by his students and his disciples. We studied some of them yesterday. This is called Savat HaRivash, or the will of Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. It's not a will, a monetary will, although it's interesting. There are lots of different sorts of information here. It's an ethical will. It's sort of his life teachings, the way you should live life that he leaves over to his disciples. It wasn't written by him. It's written by one of his disciples named Rabbi Shaya of Yanov, who writes that this is a collection of the Yisrael Baal Shem Tov's teachings, along with someone who we'll learn about in a few weeks, the Maggid of Mezrich, or Dober of Mezrich, who is really responsible for getting the Hasidic movement started. Anyways, he has a fascinating thought here about the way a person should conduct themselves when learning Torah. Now, what should we think about when we learn Torah? What do you think? If you're studying a text of Torah, this week is Parshat Bamidbar. A person is learning Parshat Bamidbar. A person is learning Masechet Yibamot, Daf Yomi, right? A person is learning the laws of Shabbat. What should they be thinking about? A simple question. Thoughts? What should you be thinking about when you're learning? Steven is here. He's asking a big question. Because Steven has a Hasidish neshama. Mamash. I really think you do. And I mean that in the best way. So Steven asks, what is God trying to tell us? That's a very big, I like that. That's for sure right. But I think on a simple level, like if you're learning about Bamidbar, what should you be thinking about? What does this mean? No? What does the words mean? How do I decipher the text? Yisrael Baal Shem Tov is going to have a radical suggestion here. Not even what you said, Stephen. Let's see what he writes. Ukishalom eit sarach lanuach ma'at b'chol shah. When a person's learning, look here in source one, they need to rest a bit every hour. They need to stop. You should take a break from studying the text. Why? To spend time connecting yourself to God. Just thinking about God. Because when you're actually learning, you can't connect yourself to God. But you need to learn. What does he mean by that? That when you're learning, you can't connect yourself to God. What do you think that means? That you can't connect yourself to God while you're learning. What sort of problem is he addressing here? The head and the heart, okay. Okay. So think about it. You're reading a text. You're reading about the laws of Shabbos. What challenge is there in connecting to God in that moment? You're reading about, I don't know, how do you make an Erev? What sort of dimensions does the Erev have to have? How tall does it need to be? Can there be any gaps? What challenge does that raise in connecting to God? I'm not looking for anything fancy.
You're focusing on specific things.
You're focusing on fences. You're focusing on gaps. You're focusing on dimensions. Where is God in that? So there are different answers to that question. But the Baal Shem Tov is saying here, if this is his teaching, at least as recorded in his will, that that's something that you have to reckon with. On the one hand, you need to learn, because that's what Hashem wants us to do. On the other hand, you need to remember that ultimately our goal is to connect to Hashem. So what he says you should do is take a break while you're in the middle of learning and just focus on your connection to God. Just focus on Hashem. Just focus on thinking about God and how you want to be close to Him, how you want to connect to Him, and then go back to learn. And he says, you have to learn then. V'atorah mitzatzacha nishmato. The Torah purifies one's soul. V'u etz chayim l'machazikim ba. It is a tree of life to those who take hold of it. So learning Torah is supposed to purify your soul. And by studying this material, it doesn't exactly explain how, but that purifies your soul in a way. If you don't learn at all, then you won't have this connection to God. And this is a crazy line. Just like when you're sleeping, you can't be connected. If your mind falters, if you're having a sort of, you know, foggy day, you can't think straight, it's hard to connect to God. So when you're learning, when you're focusing on the dimensions of the fence or how the lulav needs to be held, that's no worse than sleeping. That's a crazy line. It's almost as if he's saying that learning is a concession in a sense. Focusing on the material is a concession in a sense, because you can't focus on God while you're focusing on whatever you're learning. So in order to sort of alleviate that concern, you should take time in the middle of your learning to focus on just a connection to God. It's a pretty radical perspective. Maybe many others will take issue with that. Maybe that's not what you're supposed to be focusing on. Maybe the material itself is what God wants from you, and that's how you connect to Him. But the notion that ultimately the goal here is connecting to God and the Torah is there to purify your soul, to facilitate that connection, is quite a perspective to have. That when we're learning, it's a religious endeavor. It's not just an intellectual endeavor or a scholastic endeavor. You're not just trying to attain knowledge. You're trying to connect yourself to God. So that's one idea from the founder of Hasidut I wanted to share with you. Andrew here in the audience has a question. Yes. Right. Right, right. So that's very interesting. So Andrew says maybe sleeping itself is a way of connecting to God. The truth is there are rabbis who, for Tzedakah Cohen, we're not going to learn about today, writes about this. Maybe sleeping could be a spiritual experience or mind is sort of with God. It's interesting. I don't think that's what he means here. I think he means on a very basic level that, listen, you can't think when you're not in control of your thoughts. So then also you can't connect to God. So if you can't, like the presumption is you always want to be thinking about Hashem. So if you have to take a break to sleep or to learn, like about fences or lulavim, then that's okay. Very interesting idea. Okay, another idea. Now we're going to learn from Rav Levi Yitzchak of Barditch. So a bit of the history here. The Hasidic, you know, I don't think he's from Ukraine. That was a mistake here. I think he's actually from Poland. But Rav Levi Yitzchak of Barditch is the second generation of Hasidim. So you had the Baal Shem Tov. He's a fan. He had his primary disciple was the Maggid of Mezrich, or Dober of Mezrich, and one of his students was Rav Levi Yitzchak of Barditch. Still very early in the history, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, but it was actually in Poland. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Actually, but he has a very interesting idea here. He's actually, I'll get to what he's trying to answer. Maybe at the end of this little piece, he's answering a very famous question. And the answer is an interesting one, but the question that he asks is a famous one. We call Shavuot Zman Matan Torah Teinu, the day of the giving of our Torah. Big problem with that. Anyone know what the problem with that is? The problem is, based on the way the Gemara Paskins, Magen Avraham asked this question, we believe the Torah was given on the 7th of Sivan, the 7th day of Sivan. And when do we celebrate Shavuot? which day in the Hebrew calendar? The sixth day of Sivan. So that's a day off. So many ask this question, why are we calling it Zman Matan Torah Teinu when indeed we think that it was not Zman Matan Torah Teinu? It's actually the next day. In that process, he asked a different question. And here's his question. Sarach Lahavin, Heichadu Omim Zman Chayr Teinu B'Pesach Zman Matan Torah Teinu B'Shavuot B'chol Shana V'Shana HaKfarever Kama Zmanim Tzuva. Every Yom Tov, we say, we refer to the holiday with a unique title, unique appellation. So on Pesach, we say Zman Chayrutenu. It's the time of our freedom. On Shavuot, in a few nights, we're going to say Zman Matan Torahtenu. It's the time that of our getting the Torah, our Hashem giving us the Torah. Simple question. Is it still the time of Hashem giving us the Torah? That happened thousands of years ago. That happened thousands of years ago. And we're making Kiddush today, 2,000 years later. So why do we still call it Zman Matan Torah Teinu? That it's no longer, okay, it's the day that it happened, but we're calling it now Zman Matan Torah Teinu. So some would say, well, it's sort of remembering what happened. Historically, that's the day it happened. So it's the day we think about Matan Torah. But Levi Yitzchak says something far more profound. Far more profound. Let's read. Avala Inyan Kasha. The idea is as follows. I think it's a very fundamental idea and worth really thinking about. So b'chol shana, every year, when we fulfill God's commandments, meaning, when we get rid of chametzah and eat matzah on Pesach, and all the other commandments associated with Pesach, right? Just as our forefathers, when they left Egypt, it wasn't just a historical event. In fact, that's not even the focus. Not just the focus about what happened, but it's about what the impact it had on the relationship to God, on their souls. That when they left Mitzrayim, there was an illumination, that their souls were lit on fire by God. All of a sudden, they were so close to God in a way that was almost indescribable. There was a spiritual force lit inside of them that happened at that time. It's not just that historical event. It's about the revelation of God in that moment to the Jewish people and the impact it had on them and how it enhanced their connection to him. And so just as through their following God's word, them baking the matzot, and then them following him into the desert, they had this incredible connection with God. Kmo ken gam anachnu, mibnei b'neihem, us, their descendants, kish anachnu mekayimim ha-mitzvot. When we fulfill the mitzvot, azay anachnu megamlin gam ken ha'ara shahaya la'avos b'pesach, we get the same exact illumination, the same exact experience that they had, that by doing the same mitzvot they did, we are intending to connect, to channel that same spiritual energy, that every single year on Pesach, it is a time of our freedom. The time of our freedom means there's a certain energy unlocked in the world, which allows us to be spiritually free. And that is available. And in order to unlock that energy, what we need to do is fulfill the same mitzvot that they did, and we can experience the same inspiration. And therefore, it's Zman Chayrutenu now. It's not just a historical event. It happens every single year. And therefore, we say on Pesach, it is a time of our freedom. And on Shavuot is the time of our giving of the Torah. Because that is not just a historical event. It is happening now. That the inspiration, the same spiritual inspiration from our freedom and from our receiving of the Torah is awakened within us at that time based and commensurate with the way we do the mitzvot. The mitzvot are receptacles for that inspiration. That's what's happening. And when I do, when I learn, when I celebrate Shavuot, I'm not just trying to observe the commandments, which I am, and I'm not just trying to make sure that I follow all the laws, but what I'm trying to do is to receive the same spiritual force that our forefathers experienced when they were at Har Sinai and received the Torah personally. That's the goal of the experience. And the mitzvah would allow him to do that. And he says, "Hinei Yitzia Mitzrayim Hayayidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechvodo." We say in the Haggadah every single year, who took us out of Egypt? Lo Yadei Malach, it wasn't through an angel, it wasn't through a messenger, it was through God himself. God himself took us out. V'chein Matan Torah Mikri HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God spoke to us himself at Matan Torah. U'kishem Shehu Chai La'avik Chai Manetzah, just as he lives forever. So to his word lasts forever. The things that he does last forever. When God does something, that is an eternal impact. It does not stop. And so it happens the same way it did happen if we prepare ourselves for it. Okay, he quotes an interesting pasuk here. It's a little bit of a tricky, or it's a deep point. There's a pasuk here he's quoting from Shemot. It says, "Ushamarta sochuka azot lamoada miyamim yamima." Right? You shall observe this law every year at this time, miyamim, from days, yamima, 2 days. They're repetitive. So here, he focuses on the tense. Yamim, the word yamim means days, is in the masculine tense. Masculine, right? That's yamim. Yamima, ending with the hey, is in the feminine. They both mean days. What's the significance of that? There's an idea in mystical thinking that zachar and nekeva, male and female, represent, mashpia and mekabel, the influencer and the receiver, the giver and receiver. And the idea then is as follows. Kloma, shatiyu mekablim he'ara gedola bichol shana, at the time of the holidays itself, that was the beginning of that inspiration. That is when it was created. That's yamin. That's the zachar. That's the male aspect, the giver of the inspiration. Every year subsequently, it's yamima. We are mikabel. We receive that inspiration. And v'shamarta sachuga zol mo'adam yamima means by observing these laws every single year on that day, you will receive the same inspiration that they did. He uses this idea to give a fascinating answer to this question. Why do we celebrate? Why are we calling it Zman Matan Torateinu? The idea is, based on the Gemara, and this is just parenthetically, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, added a day from his own consent. Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, I want to add one more day. The Jews, we have Shlosh Yemei Hagbalah. The Jews were supposed to prepare for 2 days. And then Moshe Rabbeinu said, we need one more day. So that means Matan Torah was scheduled for Vav Sivan. And it was postponed. God had to, send out an email to the shul. Matan Torah has been postponed until tomorrow. See you tomorrow, Moshe Rabbeinu's edition. Which means the sixth of the day of Sivan was the day prepared for this incredible spiritual experience. And that force was actually awakened at the sixth day of Sivan. Practically, the Torah was given the next day, but the spiritual experience, God's revelation, was on the sixth day, and Moshe postponed it. And it's that spiritual energy that we receive every year. So for the Beis Halevi then, the idea of Shavuot is every holiday, every experience, but every holiday specifically, Shavuot, is not just to learn a lot and to hear a lot of interesting shirim, which it is, all that's true, but it's to prepare ourselves, to follow, if we observe the holiday appropriately, if we appropriately prepare ourselves to receive the inspiration that our forefathers and foremothers experienced at Mount Sinai. And that's the idea of Shavuot. So we move from the house of Rav Levi Yitzchak Bardishev to Rav Natan of Nemra, Rav Natan of Breslov. So another one, a little bit later in history. Now we move to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman of Breslov, very well known. He has many followers today. They go to, if you maybe you know, they go to Uman. which is this place in Ukraine on Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Nachman of Breslov was a very popular, actually great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. We don't have his writings, but he did have what you would call a scribe. He had a student named Rav Natan of Nemerov, who wrote all sorts of teachings of Rav Nachman of Breslov. And here Rav Nachman is talking about the mitzvah to read the Torah in public. To read the Torah in public. And he's focusing specifically on why the need to do it publicly. What's this idea of Kriyas HaTorah? Bringing the Torah out into the shul and so everybody can hear it at once. Communal Torah reading. What's the idea there? Couldn't we just read the Torah by ourselves? So Rav Nachman says no. He writes as follows. Okay, therefore, b'chol eitz sheba'im l'shmoa kriyas ha-Torah b'tzibur. Every time a person goes to hear the Torah being read publicly, tzrichim l'chavein, shetia nafsho nechlele b'chol nafsho sisra. A person needs to have in mind that his soul should be included among the souls of all of Israel. When we listen to the Torah as a community, what we should have in mind is, the idea of community is that it's not just us listening to the Torah, but we are connecting ourselves to the Torah that was learned throughout the generations, that all of the souls of Israel are connected. And that's the souls in this generation and in the next generation. And we should see ourselves at Har Sinai, because the Chazal famously say, who was at Har Sinai? Every soul was there at Sinai. And we read the Torah publicly. It's reenacting Har Sinai. And so at that moment, we are connected to all the souls that ever heard the Torah, that ever learned Torah. And it's a communal experience. And he has this fascinating idea here, which is, and this here is a specific Hasidic idea of the tzaddik, of the righteous person. And what you find, certainly in the writing of some Hasidic masters, is there's a certain focus on the tzaddik, the Rebbe, one specific spiritual protagonist. And here Rav Nachman says that one role of the tzaddik is to connect us to those generations, that tzaddikim unite the souls of Israel, that on their level they transcend time and place, and through them we can be united with each generation that received the Torah, because that's what she's at. Iker b'chinas kedushas atzibor. That is the idea of the sanctity of the community. Kishehim mikubatzim mikubarim uklulim nafshosam yachad. When all of their souls connected and included together, Ayadea Tzadik HaRabi Amitish V'chol Dor V'dor, through the righteous individual in every generation, Shunikra Ro'e Yisrael, is called the Shepherd of Israel. So, I'm sorry, the translation is here. U'me Atzadikim Aroma Amitim Ha'el Shabachol Dor Mekadlin Kol Tzibor B'tzibor B'chol Makom Shehem Mekadzim Nikro B'tor V'lasok Ba. The shepherd, the tzaddik in every generation enables all the souls in Israel in all places at all times to connect with one another. And just, so interesting idea, certainly with the tzaddik. But I do think this notion of the focus on a Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur, I'm going to get to you in a second, okay? Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur is a fascinating one. Now, the idea being, when you hear the Torah being read, is not, you're not supposed to just imagine that, you're here in this big sanctuary, just a few people in it. But somehow, in some way, we're connecting at that moment to every soul in Klal Yisrael, to all the souls of the Jewish people. And that's the idea of learning Torah. The idea of learning Torah is it's not just me that's learning. It's not just us that are learning. But through our learning, we're connecting to the Jews throughout time, in all places. And that's the idea of communal Torah learning, as opposed to private Torah learning. So another fascinating idea from Rav Nachman of Breslov. Okay, we have two more thinkers to cover. We're going to move a little bit further in history. So we had many generations of Hasidim. The first was that of, I'll take care of a little bit after, okay? The first was of, we had the Baal Shem Tov, he has descendants. We're moving a little bit further here to Poland. And it's worth noting, Hasidus does not start in Poland. It starts in Ukraine and Russia. And eventually, really for the Chuzah of Lublin, it spreads to Poland. One of the great famous, till today, Hasidic schools of the Polish or Hasidim is the school of Gor, the Ger Hasidim. Mm-hmm. And most likely the most prominent of those Rebbeim is the Sfat Emes, Yehuda Leib Alter of Gor. Others, there's Imre Emes, there's the Chedushi Arim. The Sfat Emes, I think, is probably the most well-known. And he is focused on a very well-known custom, the custom of staying up all night on Shavuot. What's this notion of staying up all night learning on Shavuot? It's a famous question. You know, any good rabbi will talk about it at least once a year. We probably would learn better if we actually got some sleep. And it's a much later custom. Why are we staying up all night? What's the purpose of that? So two interesting ideas here. Says Rabbi Yehuda Leib Alter of Goros, Sfas Emes. And this is on his homilies. Again, it's worth noting, many of the Hasidic masters would deliver their Torah at Sudah Shlishi. Right? So they wouldn't get up in the middle of shul during the day and like deliver a sermon. But what would happen was there would be a gathering of the Rebbe and all his disciples and all the town, and they would sit together at Shal Shittis and they were eating. And as Shabbos was ending, they would deliver these discourses. So this is the discourse. This is one of the speeches the Sfas Emes delivered to his congregation on this Shabbos, on the Shabbos of Bamidbar, awaiting Shavuot. Maybe it was just like this year. Maybe that night was going to be Shavuot. And he's sitting here thinking about what Shavuot is going to be. How can I prepare my disciples for the holiday of Shavuot? And so he says, HaMinag Lasuk B'Torah B'Lal HaChag, in source 4. The custom is to engage in Torah on the night of the holiday. So why is that? The Isa. HaKinat M'Halumo Torah in Yerushalacha. Prepare yourself to learn Torah, for it is not inheritance for you. It's a mission of us. Mission of us says you can't expect to just sort of sit back and relax and imbibe Torah knowledge. It's not a Yerusha for you. It's not something that you are owed via inheritance. You have to work for it. Hakenat mechalomo Torah. Prepare yourself to learn Torah. But what's the problem with that scene? And it says the Torah not your inheritance. The Torah is not my inheritance. What's the first verse? What's the first pasuk we teach to every child? Torah, 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 Tziva lanu Moshe, Morasha, Kila Yaakov. The Torah is an inheritance. So what does that mean in Yerushalcha? Here he says, Acha Torah nikreis Yitzchayim. Torah is called the tree of life. Ukemosha ila motzi peiro b'chol shana v'shama. The tree of life. A tree, what's a tree do? It brings out new fruits every single year. The Torah itself grows new fruits every single year. The Gemara tells us that during Shavuot, every holiday has its judgment day. We know on Sukkot we're judged for water. On Shavuot, what are we judged for? The fruits of the tree. The fruits of the tree. That's a metaphor. The tree is the tree of life. The fruits are the new ideas of Torah that are constantly budding from the Torah itself. Right? It's the new ideas of Torah that's called tree of life. That's why Shavuot is also called Yom HaBikurim. The first fruits, the new fruits. The new fruits are also a metaphor for the new ideas in Torah. All of the prophets, all the sages, all accepted their portion of Torah at Sinai. What do you mean they accepted their portion of Torah at Sinai? They weren't even born yet. The tree grew, sprouted on Sinai, but each year it sprouts new fruits. Everyone at a time, their words were finally brought into the world, but the original growing of that tree is on Matan Torah. Therefore, every single year on the day of the giving of our Torah, in the present, every single year, Mekam b'nei Yisrael chilek haTorah hamechadesha koyam yashana. We acquire a new portion of Torah. Every year there's a new portion of Torah. Every year there are new ideas of Torah that come into the world, that are ready to be revealed. Their root is from that first giving of the Torah, but they're new ideas of Torah. They're new bikurim, new fruits that grow every single year. And then those ideas are brought from potentia to the actual world. And each time in its place, this rabbi comes up with one idea, a new interpretation, a new thought. But that those new ideas, that innovation depends on each person's preparation. That doesn't come by itself. If you want to be part of the hischadshus of Torah, the new ideas in Torah, that's what the Perkei Mishnah is saying. The idea being that, of course, everyone has a chil, everyone gets the Torah. The Torah is mine, the Torah is yours, it's a morashah. But the new ideas of the Torah, the new fruits, that the Mishnah of us is saying, hat kein atzmecha lo mo Torah. For that, you need to prepare yourself for. When we learn all might on Shavuot, we are preparing ourselves to be able to enjoy the new fruits of Torah of that year. That's the idea of learning all might on Shavuot. We're preparing ourselves to take a portion in the new innovative ideas of that year that are going to grow in Torah. That's Hakinat Mahalimot Torah. Prepare yourself to learn Torah. So that's what I'm focusing on. When I'm learning on Shavuot, I'm focusing on preparing myself to participate in the new Torah that's going to come to the world in this coming year. Fascinating idea. Let's move a little bit to the last Hasidic master we're going to study today. And that is, of course, Rav Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. Now, Rav Yitzchak HaKohen Cook is not classically thought of as a Hasidic master. He didn't have Hasidim in the same way, although he wore the same garb. But I think properly understood, Rav Cook really was a Hasidic thinker. And that I mean primarily because, again, Rav Cook's less focused on teaching us ideas and more focused on connecting us to the Jewish experience, the experience of the soul. And for that, I'd like to read one little piece here before we end. What is the goal of learning Torah? What is the goal of learning Torah?
We've asked this yesterday.
What's the goal of learning Torah? So we have many, you could say, how could you ask that question? There are so many different disciplines of Torah. Some Torah is more complex, some is more simple. We have Tanakh, we have Talmud, we have Halacha, we have Medrash, we have Machshava, we have philosophy. How can there be one goal of learning Torah? Cook says there's one goal of learning Torah. One goal. That's source 5. Yesh megama achas the Torah. There is one goal in learning Torah. One goal. La'orer et hatsan haruchani ha'elyon sheba'adam. Is to awaken the elevated spiritual side to a person or people. We have a spiritual side and a physical side. And they're always in tension. They're always grappling with one another. Are you more physical or are you more spiritual? The purpose of learning Torah is to awaken a person's spiritual side. She asubumus kalo could you show that then that part of a person should be engaged in holy ideas. That you're engaging with the holy ideas to elevate yourself. But yes, sar mishikua bahami gufani, you should remove yourself from being steeped in a person's animalistic physical side. Instead of thinking about all the different, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I want this, I want that, to take my the koah, the power of my intellect and my mind, and to focus it on holy spiritual ideas. That accentuates my spirituality. Because when I think about that, it takes away from my individuality. All of us have animalistic desires. That's not the special part about you. The special part about you is your spiritual side. That's what the Torah does. Regarding this goal, this negative goal of removing that evil physical focus, or not just focus, but the obsession with physicality. In that sense, Torah, all Torah is the same. But in terms of the positive goal, like the specific revelation that is contained with each piece of Torah, shmeravat haneshama, that feeds, that gives the soul to drink, Meaning, whatever you learn, Cook is saying, you accomplish the spiritual goal of removing, of accentuating the spiritual side, of accentuating the soul, of taking your mind, of focusing on important spiritual things rather than being so focused on silly things or physical things. But in terms of the positive goal of receiving whatever wisdom it is, so then it depends on what you're learning, of course. But they do all share one goal. And he goes on to talk about practical learning versus impractical learning. So what do I want to take from all of this? Again, I think what we saw today, what I tried to show today, is that beyond learning Torah, focusing on the material and all that stuff, which is all really important, there's another goal here, which is that our neshamot are supposed to get something. And I think we've looked at a bunch of different focuses, whether it's focusing on just connecting to God or connecting our minds to God, connecting ourselves to all the Jews who have learned Torah throughout the generations, reawakening the spiritual energy that took place when the Torah was given and that continues to take place every single year that we can receive if we prepare ourselves to receive it. To take part in the new Torah, the new fruits of Torah, the new Bikurim that grow every single year from the tree of life, the Eitz Chaim of Torah. To detach ourselves from thinking about physical, silly, shallow things and to attach our minds to holiness. All of those are part of the spiritual experience of learning Torah. And so I would ask, I would hope that as we approach any spiritual experience, don't just think about what do I need to do and did I do it? And then you turn your mind off. Be attuned, to be sensitive to that spiritual experience, to make sure that our souls are gaining from it and that we're inspired from it. And hopefully if we can do that, then we will have a meaningful and inspiring, inspirational Talmud Torah experience in the Shavuot and a Matan Torah that will last us throughout the entire week. Thank you all for joining us in person on Zoom. Wishing you a Chag Kasher.
Thank you.